I am a news junkie. But not only a news junkie, I enjoy thinking and pondering about what's going on in society, in the news, in the world. And these days I have been very frustrated, and I was going to say depressed, but not really. Confused, I guess, would be a better way of saying it. Anxious. Whenever I look at the state of the world, what's going on with terrorism, the recent happenings in Paris, the explosion of the Russian plane, then what happened in San Bernardino. And if you constantly look at the news and everything that's happening, all of the analysis, and then you look at politics, and you look at what's going on in politics, both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and you look at the possibilities of what may be in our future, the choice may be between Clinton and Trump or whoever else. And then you look at the current leadership, which I'm not a fan of. When I look at all of that, sometimes I just want to shake my head, and I don't know what. There's nothing for me to be excited about, and actually there's plenty for me to be somewhat concerned about now and about the future. Now, you might ask yourself, well, why are you doing this tonight when you're supposed to be rejoicing? Because that's what Gaudete Sunday is, and the readings are all rejoice. And I don't sound very rejoicy, and I'm not. But it's precisely that causes me to reflect on what's the focus of a Christian. You see, the world, if you do what I do, and if you watch enough TV, and if you're involved in the world can get you down. And the question is, so what's next? Is it more of the same? And the Christian understanding of life always reminds you not to get overly trapped in the drama of what's going on now. I enjoy studying history and cultural history, social history. And at every turn in the historical record, things have been kind of like this. Lately, I've been studying a lot of what was happening right before World War I, before the French Revolution, before the Civil War, before World War II, during the Vietnam era, during the Korean War. I mean, you could go on and on and on, every single period. In every single period of history, there seems to be a drama that does not bode well for the world. And it continues going on and on. And so the question, not the question, the insight, I guess, that I have is that if I were living, say I'm tired of what's going on today, and I wish I were living in another time, I don't think that things would be much different. I think that if I didn't know how things were going to turn out, I would be just where I am. If I overly attuned to what's going on in society, I'd be pretty much where I am. And so the Christian part of me asks, so what does what I'm doing now, celebrating this Eucharist with you, wearing these colors, what does it really mean and what does it really do? And the answer to what it means and to what it does is, especially for me and maybe for you, because maybe some of you don't keep as focused on what's going on and you're living in another kind of place. But what it does for me is it reminds me to look up. It reminds me that what I just said, that if I were to look at every single period of history that I have, every single period of history had its drama, had its worries, and had its dark cloud. And all those people during that time could also be drowning in somewhat of the despair of their situation. Except that what the church tells you is that is not the final word. It's not the final word on reality. Reality and the future of humankind is greater than the drama of what's going on today. And what we are told to do is to not become so entrenched in the drama of today that we forget to look up. What do I mean by looking up? What I mean is that if you look at all through history, somehow God has been present there. We don't get it. We don't understand it. But even through the most horrendous times in human history, God has somehow moved us beyond and forward. And so the question that I ask myself is, so what should my attitude be now? And the best answer that I have come up with, at least today, is yes, to lift up my eyes. But I decided, I got in my head the prayer that is back there. There's a whole bunch of gold-looking plaques. And the big one in the middle of, when you're on your way out, go look at it. It's the prayer by Thomas Merton. And the prayer is a prayer that is singular. It's a prayer that says, basically, it starts by saying, my Lord and my God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. And I do not know what the future holds. And the fact that I think I'm doing your will does not necessarily mean that I'm actually doing it. And it goes on. But the inspiration that I got, and this makes sense to me, is to translate that prayer into the plural instead of a singular. And if you translate that prayer, and I encourage you on your way out to look at it, it's on that wall right over there. If you translate it into the plural, it helps you to not get stuck in the drama of whatever's going on, either in politics, or maybe you're having family trouble, or maybe you're having your own personal trouble. It helps you not to get stuck there. So allow me to just translate that. This is going to be a short homily, but allow me to just translate that. I have it pretty well committed to memory. But instead of making it a singular, making it a plural. And the prayer would go something like this, in translated into the plural. It goes like this. My Lord, our Lord and our God, we have no idea where we're going. We cannot see the road ahead of us. We don't know for certain where it will lead. Neither do we know ourselves. And the fact that we think we're doing your will does not necessarily mean we're actually doing so. But we do believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And we hope that we have that desire in all that we are doing. We hope we never do anything apart from that desire. And we know that if we do this, you will lead us by the right road, even though we may know nothing about it. And even though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear. For your rod and your staff give us comfort, and we know that you will never leave us to face our trials alone. That makes sense. And so, as we go into these last couple of weeks, whether you're funk, because all of us get into funks, whether your funk is personal funk or family funk or social, political funk, whatever funkiness you're experiencing or may experience, lift your head and try to remember that prayer. Photograph it. Take a picture of it when you're on your way out. And remember that we've been here before and that nothing is absolute except that, thanks be to God, God's in charge, and whatever funk we're going through, we will get through it if we only try to do what is pleasing to Him. We don't know how, but we trust that that's what will happen. Short homily.